In 2025, Americans lost more than $21 billion to fraud and identity theft. That's why so many people are turning to Aura. Aura helps protect your identity with fraud alerts, dark web monitoring, and up to $5 million in identity theft protection. And if you become a victim, Aura's 24/7 U.S.-based support team is there to help. Don't wait until your identity is stolen. Start your free trial today at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's an interesting thing, language. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. So I came across a story yesterday that really struck me in just a weird sort of way. Last night, doing research for the show, and we've got a lot going on, including what's happening overseas with the president right now, NATO and Iran. And I want to get to all of that, but I've got to start out with what's happening here in America when it comes to our language. And that is the one thing that binds us together as a people, this collective language that we all speak, known as English. And there's been a lot of controversy among immigrant groups of late to push back on the idea that English is the official language of the United States of America. And there are a lot of reasons for that. I believe one of the things is, without a common language, you really do not have a united country. And we have seen this play out across the world. And now there is a movement afoot. For example, in many southern and southwestern states, you've got people that just simply don't speak English. You'll go into some towns, nobody speaks English. You literally have to learn Spanish if you want to understand what's happening in the restaurants or whatever. So there is so that's a problem in and of itself. I barely know enough Spanish to get through the menu at the Taco Bell. Barely. And then some places, there is a movement afoot to promote something called Black English. And that is our starting off point today. At first I thought somebody's yanking my chain here. This can't be happening. But it's true. There is now an effort afoot to teach children what they're calling Black English. This is from the public broadcasting station in the San Francisco area, KQED. And they're saying that there needs to be an official African-American dialect and language. And, you know, we used to call this Ebonics. But now they're calling it the African-American Vernacular English, or Black English. So there's Standard English, which they refer to as White English, and then there's something called Black English. And these activist groups are working very, very hard to make sure that preschoolers in California are actually taught how to speak Black. And I want to give you an example here. So one of the things is dropping the P's. So instead of a napkin, it's a nacken. Give me a nacken, or I'm finna do this. These are literally examples pulled from the website. Like, Dylan, I'm finna go to break. That's Black English.
I think I'm understanding now.
Dylan, you be doing a great job over there. That's another thing, is use of the word be. I'm not making this up. This is actually, this is what they want taught in our public schools. According to KQED, generations of Black children, grew up learning that their home language wasn't acceptable in school or the workplace. Many internalized the belief that Black English, is bad English, loaded with slang and grammatical errors. According to one expert, with that comes a lot of shame and embarrassment. What you be talking about? Because you're being constantly corrected when you're still in a moment when you're just learning language. Years ago, Dylan, when I was just a little fellow, I was working as an intern at some TV station. And we had one of these sweet elderly grandmother types who had been doing like a romper room, like children's show for like 50 years at the TV station. A beloved icon, this woman was. What was her name? Miss Marcia is what they call Miss Marcia. And so anyway, we were going out into some, I don't know, we were going out into some rough part of town. It was the hood. And Miss Marcia and I were the only people of the Caucasian persuasion within a, I don't know, a 2 or 3 square mile area. And so anyway, they started talking, like, oh, it be Miss Marcia. It be Miss Marcia. And Miss Marcia went over and corrected the grammar of these, you know, of this, of the gang members. And I'm like, God, we're going to die. But the problem is, it turns out Miss Marcia was wrong, because Miss Marcia wasn't speaking black. She was speaking white, according to this movement in California. One of the co-founders of the Black Californians United for Early Child Care Education says that she's part of a movement to get preschool teachers and caregivers to legitimize black English as a way to build children's early literacy skills and honor their cultural identity. Now, let me just stop here. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go on. I've got to go on because I've got a lot to say, but this really bothers me because they're trying to dismantle our language. That's what's going on here. The work is personal for Miss Williams because she does not want her 2-year-old son, Ashton, to experience what she went through as a child. Quote, I don't want my son to walk into any room and feel like his voice is not valued or his perspective can't be heard because he's not saying it in one way or the other. Remember the airplane. We got to pull the airplane episode where they're speaking jive.
Oh, yeah, we do.
This will come in handy. Find that, Dylan. Over the last year and a half, the advocacy group, there's another advocacy group known as Blackese, as in speaking Blackese, Blackece. And they've offered professional development training to spread the word about the importance of supporting black English speakers the way they support dual language learners. So, for example, if you're learning Spanish, you also have to learn Blackese, or Ebonics, I suppose, is what we used to call it. I don't know if we're still allowed to use that terminology. I don't know. In California, most children under the age of 5 are dual language learners. And the state's master plan for early learning and care, released by Governor Newsom, recognizes the opportunity to develop bilingualism during the early years when the kids' brains are developing rapidly. It calls on educators to affirm the child's home language even as they're learning standard English, which is also another word for white English, in the classroom. The 10-year roadmap lays out specific recommendations such as training the workforce to support dual language learners to foster bilingualism. Now, I want to scroll down here, and it's a very lengthy story, but they're trying to get educators to legitimize the street language within the black community. And here's the reason why. They don't want the kids talking like they're white. Now, there is, back, this is not the first time this has happened, by the way. Back in the 1990s, the Oakland Unified School District's Board of Education proposed using Ebonics to help black students learn standard English. But the idea sparked controversy because critics accused the school board of trying to dumb down education. By contrast, early career educators, those who are preschool teachers, were more likely to have positive beliefs about Black English because they may have started their careers during the Black Lives Matter movement. Keep in mind, Black Lives Matter meant to literally destroy not only the foundations of the nation and introduce and embrace communism, but also to destroy and break down the American family. According to Ms. Williams, when the perception of how children speak sits at the intersection of blackness, all right, where is that? Is that like MLK and, I don't know, Malcolm X Boulevard? Is that the intersection they're talking about? I don't know. When they're at the intersection of blackness, that perception is 9 times out of 10 negative, like you're from the hood. You're not speaking correctly. You're uneducated. There's a system behind the way that you speak as a Black child, and we need to learn more about how to support that and help understand more standard English. Some characteristics of Black English. I know you folks probably thought I was making this up, but I am not yanking your chain here. Some characteristics of Black English, according to KQED, include double negation of verbs. And the habitual be, like we be playing with Legos all the time. I'm reading from the thing here. This is not me just, you know, waxing poetically. Linguists say this use of be is systematic and more nuanced than standard English. You can't make this, you cannot make this up. When children learn that their language is valid and beautiful, we can't even describe the pride they feel with that identity, said Gloria Swindler Booty, an early childhood education professor at the University of South Carolina. Ms. Booty says it keeps children from thinking I have to speak this way at school and this way at home. In other words, they don't want the kids talking white. And so there you go. It is a fascinating story. But, oh, here we go. I've got to read this part. So going back, one of the people said that she won a scholarship to attend a summer camp. And she, for the first time in her life, she was surrounded by mostly white children. And she said that she remembered picking up some of the ways her campmates talked and listened to Ace of Base. Is that a thing? That's old school right there. When she came home, she remembers her sister and cousin teasing her for talking white. In fourth grade, a teacher who was adamant about proper English punished the Black students in her class by making them repeatedly enunciate words like what and why. Quote, it made me feel so insecure, but at the same time, that was the language that I needed to be considered in the gifted program in elementary school and be considered the student who always got to lead the Pledge of Allegiance. Learning to code switch and talk white in school helped her excel academically. And she went on to earn a doctorate in education. Dylan, let me ask you a question, if I may.
Yes.
So here's the problem. Let's just say that this happens because it's California. It's probably going to happen. And by the way, everybody's picking up on this story now. Fox just posted a story about it. Leftist California group pushes to add Black English to schools. New York Post. Activists demand Black English be pushed on kids in California preschools. This is going to happen. But my question is, what about Southern English?
That is an excellent question.
Because we've got our own language in the South.
Yeah. It's true.
And not only that, even in Memphis has its own Black English, which is different than the rest of the nation's Black English.
There's several other layers to Memphis English other than Black English.
So I don't know what to say about all of this, but I think they're opening up Pandora's box. And I remember as a young broadcaster, you know, they would teach you to speak with a Midwestern accent. And I never could get the handle on that. Never could. And the reason why my Tennessee twang sort of mellowed is Dad got transferred down to New Orleans. And so that sort of mellowed out my Tennessee twang, which I just had naturally. And I could not, it's not that I wanted to get rid of it, but again, I remember having a broadcaster, a very famous broadcaster tell me that I would never be able to work west of the Mississippi River because of my accent. And she was very kind and polite, and she said, no one would take you seriously with a southern accent. And then she said that she recommended a linguistic specialist who could help me get rid of my southern accent. And long story short, I did not do that and ended up getting a job at a much larger broadcast market in California. And they love my southern accent.
You proved them wrong.
And I don't think, look, I don't have a strong southern accent, but there are some words that I say, for example, McDonald's. If you're up north, they'll laugh at you. They'll say, it's McDonald's. And I'm like, no, it's McDonald's. It's MC. If it was a Mick, there'd be an MIC, so it's Mac.
You are in the minority there, but that it's forgivable. You know, it's McDonald's, but it's fine.
You're from Mississippi. What do you know?
I am from Mississippi, yeah.
You're from this Mississippi. What do you know?
Not much.
So anyway, there we have it. I know, ladies and gentlemen, do you have a problem with this? Again, I truly believe we need to be learning a common language, and it's almost as if California is wanting to build their own, I don't know, modern-day Tower of Babel, right, where you're not going to be able to understand anybody. So all that to say, all you homies out there might want to get all up in some homeschooling. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Somebody has to help this country, and if they don't, the country and the world are in big trouble.
One of the most polarizing political figures in American history gets a full-scale defense. The America 250 film series presents Vindicating Trump. Go inside the battles, accusations, media storms, and legal fights that shaped an historic comeback story. It's Vindicating Trump this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to Pasadena, Texas. That's where Dan is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Dan, what do you make of this Black English story out of California?
Well, I think this is an excellent example of the anti-white racist bigotry that emanates from certain sections of the Liberal Democrat Party. And I think, in addition to blacks, certain percentages or cohorts of blacks wanting this Black English, I suspect there are also white, far-left, radical white Democrats who also support this. And there's a couple problems with this. One involves speaking, and the other involves spelling. Okay, they don't want black kids to learn how to speak white English. What about speaking English in the same way that Filipinos in the Philippines speak English, or Indians in India speak English? And I have, and I talk to people like that from time to time when I call some major corporation that offshores some of its work. And I also had a conversation with a guy in Africa who spoke excellent English, and he happened to be an Egyptian who's living in Alexandria. So English is all over the world. And for the most part, whether you're in the Philippines or anywhere else, you're speaking a variety of English that sounds very, very much like this hated white English that certain radical blacks don't like. And the second thing, spelling, the word axe. When it comes to spelling words, if they say the word axe, how in the world are they going to ever spell the word ask? ASK correctly.
It's a great question that you ask there, Dan. Look, we've got to run to a break, and I've got a lot more to say about this because, folks, you may not be aware of this. Every pilot in the world must speak English. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if that stops being the rule of the day? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Your call is coming up.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft.
I thought it was safe.
If that happens, LifeLock gives you a U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, filing documentation, preparing insurance claims, your agent handles it all. In fact, we're so confident, restoration is guaranteed, or your money back. Isn't it nice to have someone like that on your side? Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
You may not be aware of this, but it turns out that English is not the official language of the United States of America. I mean, it's the de facto language, but that would require an act of Congress. And for whatever, well, it's Congress. What are we going to do? But when it comes to airlines, the International Civil Aviation Organization, the ICAO, they mandate that every pilot and every air traffic controller involved in international operations have at least an operational level 4 proficiency in aviation English. So they've got to be fluent. Dylan, do we have the clip from Airplane? And here's the reason why.
Can I get you something?
Your mofo butter laying into the bone, jacking me up. Tighten me.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Cuddy say can't hang.
Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
Oh, good.
He said that he's in great pain and he wants to know if you can help him.
All right, would you tell him to just relax and I'll be back as soon as I can with some medicine.
Just hang loose, blood. She's gonna catch up on the rebound out of med side.
What it is, big mama. My mama raised no dummies. I duck a rap.
Cut me some slack, Jack. Chomp don't want to help. Chomp don't get the help.
Say can't hang. Say seven up.
Jive ass dude don't got no brains in him.
You don't want that happening at 40,000 feet. I'm just saying. Let's go to the phone lines. Our good friend Murph from Germantown, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Professor Murph. What's going on?
Professor Starnes, always a pleasure. You know, yours truly taught in Shelby County for 20-plus years, okay? And every now and then I'd get some of this, I don't know what kind of language you'd call it, from Miss Clark or Miss Jones or Mr. Wilson. And I would bark at them and say, where'd you learn to speak that, talk like that? You must be from Greenwood, Mississippi. And the next thing I hear is, Miss Avon, how did you know I was from Greenwood? Because of the way you talk. Because this is basically Mississippi chilling and like, you know, and all that. But that's, that's the lay of the land. And the Wall Street Journal did a number on this, oh gosh, probably a couple of years ago, on the misuse of the verb to be. And it was hilarious. But I got, this goes all the way back to when I was at Memphis State. And the famous starting forward for the Memphis State Tigers, Ronnie Robinson, was interviewed. And all he could say was, like, you know.
Like, you know.
like, you know, me and Larry play for Melrose. And who could understand that? And then I got to take this back to when I was in the airline industry. There was some luggage sitting at the gate to put on the airplane. And here comes this kid, walks up, an Ozark Airlines agent, looks at that, and his classic remark, who bags they be?
Who bagged they be? Yeah.
Who bags they be? I had, and Tim Finley and I looked at each other and said, what? So anyhow, it's epidemic. It's epidemic. And it murders the King's English. And just it leaves an awful impression on Black America. And somebody, somewhere, maybe will take a stand and declare this. It's bad enough already, but it's just going to get worse because there's no moms and dads at home to teach kids how to read.
Well, it's true. And then I think in the culture at large, though, it just creates even more chaos when, you know, you and you know, we're Southern, and there are a lot of, you know, we talk a certain way among our fellow Southerners than we would say, you know, if we're in the Midwest or up north, because they would have a, you know, a hard time understanding us and some of our great Southern, you know, sayings, for example. You know, in New Orleans, instead of saying they're going to go to the grocery store, the supermarket, they would tell people, I got to go down and make some groceries. And, you know, those are, you know, Southern sayings that, you know, people in other parts of the country just would be confused by. So I think there does have to be a commonality when it comes to language.
Yep. And if English teachers don't enforce it and the parents don't enforce it and reaffirm it, who knows what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. It's the Tower of Babel.
Anyway.
Yeah, the Tower of Babel all over again.
Exactly.
My.
Did you understand a word he said? You take care.
All right. Thanks, Murph from Germantown, 901-260-5926. Dylan, you know what give me some sugar means? Give me some sugar.
Is that a kiss?
That's a kiss, yeah. A lot of people would go and get you some, like, Dixie crystals.
Yeah, no, I'm good on that.
Which is sugar, by the way.
That's yes, of
sugar,
course, Dixie. Of course.
But give me some sugar, or I'm going to tan your hide.
You're going to get a spanking.
You're getting a spanking. That's it.
This
so you
fun.
Know it's yeah. I mean, these are all, but again, in other parts of the country, that dog won't hunt. People say, "Well, get another dog." No, that's not what we're saying. Or if I had my druthers, there's another good Southern. So all that to say, folks, really, we're gonna screw up our language. We're gonna make America be a place where nobody understands anybody. Okay, I got you. Dylan, you're like you're about as happy as a pig in mud.
Okay.
That means you're very happy.
Yeah,
very, very happy. That's it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So yesterday we told you the story. We were getting some breaking news out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And there is a guy who is a rail conductor. Dylan, have you ever been to Chattanooga?
Yeah,
one
time.
Have you been on that rail incline?
I didn't get to do that, but I will do that next time.
So it's a huge. It is. I mean, it's very steep, and it's basically a train car that takes you all the way to the top of Lookout Mountain, and it's a lot of fun. The views are incredible. And I don't know, you get 15, 20 people in the train car, and they have a train conductor. So on the 4th of July, there was a guy, and he's the train conductor, a part-time fella. And he was, we don't know what led up to this, but clearly something happened. Because he knew that most of the people on board that train did not like America and were not from America. And so here's what we only got this part of it, but the train conductor said something, and it was filmed by a couple of far left tourists. And we know that because one of the guys was wearing an Abolish ICE t-shirt. So there's a lot of politics here that is not getting covered in the national media. And we've got the full story at toddstearns.com, and I'd encourage you to go there and check it out. We also have this video, but you're going to hear the audio of what the train conductor said that got him fired.
To the very, very few Americans in here, happy Independence Day. To the rest of you, welcome to the greatest country on the face of the planet. And if you disagree, you can leave.
I'm thinking, the company needs to know about this because he was the only one on there representing the company.
Charles sent the video to Carta. Carta says they fired the part-time conductor who made the comments that same day.
I want to make sure that they say something to the operator at a minimum so that it doesn't ruin the trip for everyone else.
In a statement, Carta apologized to all the passengers who experienced this, watched the video, and, quote, felt its sting. Going on to say we have zero tolerance for language that demeans or excludes anyone who rides with us. A person claiming to be the conductor in that video commented on Facebook saying there were maybe 5 Americans out of 40 people on that car. When we reached out to him, he said he didn't feel like his comments were xenophobic or racist. And if you don't believe making this country great, why are you here?
I just want this incline to be an enjoyable experience, you know, for everyone riding and for everyone, like my dad said, for everyone to feel welcome in our country.
Oh, for crying out loud. So that's the guy wearing the Abolish ICE shirt, by the way. So the train conductor, I'm just confused here. Maybe you can help me out. I want to read to you what the train conductor said, because they're saying that this is racist and xenophobic. And here's what the guy said: to the very, very few Americans in here, happy Independence Day. So there were apparently not many Americans. So he was, you know, again, calling out a specific group of people. And then he said to the rest of you, welcome to the greatest country on the face of the planet. And if you disagree, you can leave. Dylan, I'm having a hard time understanding what's offensive about what the guy said.
Well, the fact that they're in Chattanooga is probably what makes it offensive. I love Chattanooga, but it's so liberal. The one time
really?
I went there. Yes, it is very liberal. Lots of purple hair. So I'm really not surprised at the reaction those people gave him.
I am shocked. I had no idea Chattanooga was like
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They went woke.
They did. And it's such a beautiful place. You know, Lookout Mountain is gorgeous, but, you know, people like that just ruin it.
So the guy's name is Nathan Shearer. He's the guy wearing the anti-ICE shirt. And he posted this on his Tic Tac, as President Trump calls it, the Tic Tac account, with the hashtags racism and xenophobia. Did you hear anything offensive about what the guy said? I did not, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe you're hearing something. Maybe I'm missing something here. The Chattanooga Area Regional Transportation Authority said the conductor had been fired. And they also said the man will never work for the railway again in the history of the earth. No, I'm not kidding you. They said he's never going to be able to work for them. The train company said, we want to apologize directly to the passengers who experience this and to everyone who has seen the video and felt its sting. Just a smidge overreacting, maybe? A little bit too much caffeine? Maybe? Then the guy goes on. We have zero tolerance for language that demeans or excludes anyone who rides with us. Oh, I'm catching you know what because of my headline on the website. Train conductor fired for saying America is greatest nation on earth. That's what the guy said. Anyway, the statement goes on. For 131 years, the Incline Railway has welcomed visitors from Chattanooga and from around the world. Every passenger who boards our railway deserves to feel respected and welcome, and we are committed to making sure that is always the case. So Channel 9, which is the ABC affiliate in Chattanooga, they figured out who this guy is, and they reached out to him. His name is Jack Peterson, and he's the train conductor. And the guy sent him a statement, said, hey, look, I'm very patriotic, and it was Independence Day. And I truly do believe we are the greatest country on earth. My statement about if you don't like the country and don't believe we're the best, then you can leave. Well, that's a freedom of the USA that many other countries don't have. This is true. He then said, if you don't believe in making this country better, then why are you here? This guy is great. We tried to hunt him down to get him on the show, and hopefully we'll be able to find him. But he's just a regular American dude, and I'm just going to posit this theory. I suspect this guy was listening to a bunch of foreigners and these leftist nut jobs bashing America, bashing President Trump, and the guy finally said, enough of this. And he had a microphone, and he used it. That's what I think really happened here. So anyway, I'm still struggling to figure out what was racist or offensive about what this guy said. But we understand what a GoFundMe page has been set up for the train conductor, people wanting to, you know, donate some money to the poor guy who's now out of a job simply for loving America. Now, some of you are going to say, well, Todd, he was employed by the train company, and he's not allowed to offer his own personal opinion. Oh, really? Okay. What about all those teachers attacking Charlie Kirk after he was assassinated? What about all the teachers and the workers that were applauding the assassination of Charlie Kirk? Some of those people were fired, but then they sued and got rehired and were given tens of thousands of dollars in settlements. So you can't have it both ways here. I'm just saying, you can't have it both ways. But again, this guy said nothing that would lead anybody to say, you've got to go because you're a racist. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, President Trump holding a press conference in Turkey at the NATO meeting, and we're going to be playing some of this audio in the next hour, right after the top of the hour news break. We're going to play some of this audio. President is really fiery, also had a lot of things to say about Iran, and the president is finally getting to the point where I think he realizes that you cannot trust the Iranians. They are not people of their word. And it just seems to me that the Iranians at this point need to be wiped off the face of the earth. I mean, it really is that simple. And how the president goes about doing that, we will see. But the president addressing that and also a few other issues, including what he believes is the greatest threat to the American people, And that is communism. So we're going to be taking your calls on that. Do you believe that communism is now the greatest threat to our nation? Our number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, we're getting very close, ladies and gentlemen. We are just, under a month away, under 30 days from my new book being in bookstores around the nation. It's called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And those of you that are watching us right now, I'm holding a copy of this beautiful book, very reminiscent of The Great Gatsby as far as the cover of the book. And we have so many wonderful endorsements from people like Speaker Mike Johnson, Congressman Marlon Stutzman, our good friend Pastor Jack Hibbs, and Dr. Robert Jeffress out of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And I wanted to read a couple of things from the book, which is really a celebration of what Donald Trump has done for our nation and the responsibilities we bear as freedom-loving patriots going forward. And as a matter of fact, from the book, these are the words of our president on Inauguration Day 2025. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly, and nothing will stand in our way, because we are Americans. The future is ours, and our golden age has just begun. So that is just a little blurb from the opening of the book. You're going to love this, folks, and I want you to get a copy not only for yourself, but if you've got a young person, maybe you've got a teenager, a college student in your family, get them a copy of this book so they can be prepared to fight the good fight moving forward, because I agree with the president that communism is a clear and present danger, much like it was in the 1960s with the rise of the conservative movement under William F. Buckley Jr. and Ronald Reagan. So this is going to be an important read, and you can pre-order a copy right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Written by yours truly. Can't wait for you to read it. Hour two coming up. We've got audio coming from the president. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Great to have you with us today. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, President Trump wrapping up a press conference overseas in Turkey at the NATO summit. And the president made an interesting observation about the number one threat to America. Take a listen to Cut 33.
What's happening, and I see these lowlifes getting, I mean, they're lowlifes. I watch them. I know good people. I know quality people. These are essentially lowlifes. And when I see what they're talking, I think they're very dangerous in many ways. And I've said it. And then I said, boy, that's a pretty big statement. Then I realized, you know, a couple of people said, I think you're probably right. I think this country, with this thing that's going around, is in more danger than it was during World War One, World War Two. If you talk about September 11th, if you talk about Pearl Harbor, that was big danger. I think the concept of us going communist, because one thing that happens when you go communist, you never come back, never comes back. You die in squalor. You die a horrible death. You die in squalor. And it gets very evil and very nasty. Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's, well, there you go. The president is not wrong here. And I think, honestly, though, I think there is an additional danger to America, and that would be the rise of Islam. Because it certainly appears that the Islamists are using communism as the vehicle, as the mechanism to gain power in this country, especially when you look at what's been happening out there with these congressional races and the state races and even local municipalities that are electing Muslims who are members of the Democratic Socialist Party to office. And that is only going to get worse as we continue to move on here. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Do you believe that communism or Islam is the greater threat facing our nation? Now, the president also has pretty much had it with Iran. And the president dropping this line on the Iranians. Cut 31, please.
Very quickly, they hit a couple of ships, and so we hit them much harder. When they hit, we hit 10 times harder. You know, we hit much harder than they do. We have a lot better equipment than they do. We may even, somebody asked before, do you think you'll hit them tonight? I said, we might. Yeah, we might. But when they hit, we hit. You know, it's what they're, we use their language. We speak their language. No, I don't think so. I think anything that happens is going to be over very quickly.
So the president, I mean, they hit, I think, 81 sites, precision sites yesterday. And that just, again, illustrates the power and the might of the U.S. military, which was on full display during the America 250 celebrations. So the president talking about this, and this is brilliant because a lot of folks have been wondering, and this is a fair question. Well, how do we know the Iranians aren't going into those sites where they are developing the nuclear weapons? How do we know they're not going back in there and trying to do something? And the president explained that we have technology so powerful that, well, I want you to hear the president. Cut 32, please.
Have that now. There's no way they have a nuclear weapon. We have cameras, as an example, on the site that does beautiful B-2s at 1 o'clock in the morning 10 months ago, blew up. They blew it up. We have cameras. That's called Space Force. They're in space. But we have cameras that can read the badge of the person going over to a site, Mohammed something. We say it's Mohammed something is there with shovels. Well, shovels won't get you there. The biggest machinery in the world probably won't get you there if you want to know the truth. It's way, way below. But we're watching that. And if anybody goes there, they get blown up. So nobody's going to touch that. Eventually, we'll take it. But what we do have is we have that.
I love this. Again, it's amazing. So we have, within our resources, U.S. Space Force has cameras that can actually read the name tag of somebody in Iran right now. That's how powerful they are. So let's just say the guy's name is, I don't know, Mohammed Jones. And Mohammed Jones is walking into one of the nuclear sites. They can read that guy's name tag, and then they can launch a precision attack to turn Mohammed Jones into a pile of, I don't know, radioactive dust. That's the power of America, ladies and gentlemen. So the president also, here's the president talking about Iran, the ceasefire effectively over. Let's listen to the president, then I've got a few things to say about that. Cut 29, please.
Is the ceasefire over? Is the ceasefire done? Is the MOU dead?
It's a very interesting question. To me, I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people. And if they had a nuclear weapon, they'd use it. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good people. Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars. We make a deal. And they, if I make a deal with him, we have a deal. And he goes out, he talks. We make a deal. Everyone's agreed. No nuclear weapon. We make a deal. They go outside, talk to the press. They say, we never even talked about it. There's something wrong with them. They're cuckoo. As far as I'm concerned, it's over.
Yeah, good. And it should be. And here's the reason why. We've got the midterm elections coming up. The American people, they're done with all this. They're done. We know that Iran's not going to honor the ceasefires. Enough is enough. It's time to put Iran out of business for good. It's just, we got to get this wrapped up and get out of there and get back to our lives as normal. Now, our good buddy Jeff Stein, this is radio station KXEL, which is our affiliate in Waterloo, Iowa. They have a 50,000-watt AM signal, so they reach most of the state of Iowa with their signal. It's huge. And he conducted a survey on the most pressing issues facing voters there in Iowa. And I thought it was fascinating that the number one issue was actually not Iran. The number one issue was passing the Save America Act. That was the number one issue facing the good people in the heartland. And I do wonder if the Republicans are underestimating the outrage that the American people have over what's been not happening in the halls of Congress. Meanwhile, you've got Mitch McConnell, who may or may not be alive. We don't know. I don't know personally. Laura Loomer reporting yesterday that he had been apparently brain dead. They had to resuscitate him, the paramedics did, at his home in Washington, D.C. And then Scott Jennings from CNN came out yesterday. And Scott Jennings said something on CNN that was just very odd. And a lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on here, because now there is some sort of an effort afoot to convince the American people that Mitch McConnell is not only alive and well, but he is of sound mind. And it just is very reminiscent of what they did, what the Democrats did during the later years of the Biden administration. And Scott Jennings, who, by the way, is very close to Mitch McConnell. We're talking about very close friends going back decades, their families. It's really, really remarkable. As a matter of fact, some people could say that Scott Jennings owes his political career to Mitch McConnell. But he comes out last night on CNN, and again, we're talking about Mitch McConnell being 84 years old. The Loomer reporting is that he's brain dead, not coming back. And then Jennings posted on X that he actually spoke to Mitch McConnell for 17 minutes. He says, I spoke to my old friend Mitch McConnell this morning, the senior senator from Kentucky. He wrote all this on X, too. He's still recovering in the hospital. We talked just shy of 20 minutes about Iran and Ukraine and the unfolding situation in Maine. My visit to the Teddy Roosevelt Presidential Library, and even a little bit of Senate history. I told him that we want to see him back at work as soon as possible. I just want to say something here. So, and I'm not trying, this is not even, it's apples and oranges, I get it, but hear me on this. So look, I was in the hospital with the heart issue, and people called to see how I was doing. And those conversations were not long at all, even with my very closest friends and family, because you're tired and you're exhausted and you really don't want to be around people, right? Because you're sick. And I do remember, and this was not that long ago, what, 6 weeks ago, and I'm telling you, I wasn't talking about politics. I didn't want to know about the president's policies regarding Iran or Ukraine. I was just lucky to be alive. So, I don't know. The whole conversation that Scott Jennings alleges that he had with Mitch McConnell, something doesn't sit right about it with me. And that's all I'm going to say because, again, all I can tell you is that's a weird thing that Scott Jennings related to the American people. And then John Thune, the majority leader, comes out and says, oh, yes, we had a lengthy conversation with Mitch McConnell about substantive issues that covered a variety of topics, including national security. And then the Senate whip releases a statement saying, oh, yes, I, too, had a call that. So Mitch McConnell, as far as we know, spent almost 2 hours on the phone talking to people. Do you believe any? Are you buying any of this? And my question is, why? What are they covering up here? What is going on? So I have a theory about this. And hear me. It's all very odd. All of this is very odd about Mitch McConnell. There's something they're not telling us, and it has to do with power and control of the U.S. Senate. And for the Republicans, that's more important than anything else, having power. Same with the Democrats, right? They're just different letters, but they all want power. They crave power and control. And I don't believe what they're trying to sell us about Mitch McConnell. Because if Mitch McConnell was really doing as well as they said, if he was of sound of mind as they say he is, why is he not doing a 5-minute phone call with Fox and Friends? Why isn't that happening? Or better yet, as the CNN host said, and very rarely do I agree with the CNN host, but the CNN host clearly did not believe Scott Jennings because she said, well, let's get him on the phone. Absolutely. Let's get him on the phone. Or it may be that, you know, Mitch McConnell is doing great. And look, we don't, you know, we want everybody to live a healthy life. I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. We want you to be alive and be well. But just don't lie to us. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Your calls coming up next. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show as we monitor President Trump and delivering a pretty strong message to NATO. And folks, I don't know about you, but when it comes to NATO, they've got to pay their bills. And they should be paying a whole lot more money than we should because it's their backsides that we're protecting over there. I mean, it really is that simple. So if Spain and these other countries want to give us the what for, fine, we cut off trade. Because we don't have to put our resources over there in Europe. We don't have to do it anymore. 901-260-5926. Let's go to David in Georgia. David, what's on your mind?
Well, thank you for letting me on. I hate to regress to an earlier subject, but we've had black English in the South for 50 years, and as you remember, we called it Ebonics. Do you remember the term Ebonics?
I do remember Ebonics, yes.
And you've got a wicked sense of humor, but there was a gentleman named Neil Bortz that was a radio host. Do you remember Mr. Bortz?
I've known Neil for many, many years. A great man.
Yes, I loved him. He had an engineer named Royal Marshall that was of African-American descent.
I remember Royal, yes.
And they sent him, they sent one of the news stations in Atlanta, sent him into the hood. There was a young gentleman named Boo that got shot in the hood. And they sent this white lady to the hood to try to find out what happened to Boo. And it was rather hilarious. She couldn't understand what was going on. And Royal translated, Boo got shot, for Mr. Bortz. And if you want to fall off your seat laughing, it's his translation of Royal Marshall's translation of Boo got shot. It is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
I love this. We're going to hunt this down, and if we're able to find it, because that I remember that, and it was a hoot. And if we're able to get that, we will play that coming up in the next segment.
And I know you've got short on time. The other thing I've got to say is, anybody that cares to look and read about things like Black English, one of the words they love to use is a word. It's the bastardized version of the word ask, A-S-K. It's shortened to ax.
Ax, yes.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That word is actually a word that was bastardized by the poor English immigrants that came from the coal mines of England. So when they start talking about Black English, I would challenge anybody to start looking at the root. And a lot of the words that are considered Black English are actually taken from poor white English immigrants from years ago. It's not that much is new, and it can be awfully funny if you're willing to take the time to look it up.
All right. Well, look, David, I appreciate the call, and thanks for the little history lesson there as well. And coming up, we actually found that audio. We're going to play it. We've got Liz Peek coming up, but we will play that Neil Bortz segment coming up a little bit later on in this hour. By the way, this segment brought to you by our friends at Newsmax, and it is true. Millions of Americans agree with President Trump, and they're switching to Newsmax. They're watching great shows with Greta Van Susteren, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt. And if you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. It is free to start. You can go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. Get all of President Trump's most important events live. Imagine watching Mike Huckabee's Israel special, our Melania Trump documentary, Clint Eastwood, Charlie Kirk specials, even the movie Jesus of Nazareth. So once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, then download the app. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Download the app. This is the Todd Stern Show.
In DeKalb County, there was a shooting at an apartment complex. All we know is that the name of the guy that got shot was Boo. And one of our intrepid news ferrets from News Talk 750 WSB went out to that apartment complex with the tape recorder and started asking people, what happened? What did you see? They came across, our reporter came across this delightful young lady who had seen the whole thing. And all she needed was a microphone. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is her explanation of what happened that fateful night.
She was taking real bad initiative. Pictures, they got shot. I said, who? She said, Boo got shot. I said, oh my God, we just saw it. My sister had called somebody up him. She called my cousin, Pumpkin, distilled up. She called her, and Pumpkin told her that she was on the phone with police. And Chi-Chi, she had left out, and she went and got in her car, she bailed out. And when she left out, then when I heard the gunshot again, and I seen some boy had run in the building over back that way. He ran in that building, and I seen that car just flew off, and then I seen a long gun, a big old gun in the car.
Okay, there's the explanation of what happened that night. Now, I fully understand that there may be some of you out there who really still don't have a clear understanding of what went down in that apartment complex. By the way, let me tell you that Boo lived. Boo's okay. I mean, we wouldn't sit here making fun of Boo if Boo were taking a dirt nap. No, Boo's fine, but we call upon the unbelievable talents of our associate producer, Royal Marshall. We call him Royal T. He's going to give you the royal treatment with his translation of what that lady said. You see, Royal is bilingual. He speaks street, he speaks broadcast. So, for you now, Royal's translation of Boo Got Shot.
She was shaking real bad.
It appears the young lady was trembling from nervousness.
Peaches, they got shot.
Someone has been wounded.
So who?
I inquired as to who the victim was.
Ooh, she said, Boo got shot.
Boo has suffered a gunshot wound.
Boo got shot.
Boo has become the victim of another violent crime.
I said, oh my God.
Oh me, oh my.
We just saw it. My sister had called somebody up him.
My sibling telephoned another relative.
She called my cousin Pumpkin to stay up there.
In fact, it was my cousin Pumpkin who lives in this very same community.
She called her and Pumpkin told her that she was on the phone with police.
Pumpkin was already on the phone with the local authorities.
And Chi-Chi, she had left out.
Chi-Chi had already departed.
And she went and got in her car and she bailed out.
She found her vehicle and put it in reverse.
And when she left out, then when I heard gunshot again.
As she was departing, a shot rang out, piercing the cold night air.
And when I heard gunshot and I seen some boy had run in the building over back that way.
Apparently, the perpetrator was seeking cover behind a local building.
He ran in that building.
It was that building over there.
And I seen that car just flew off.
I saw the car depart with a rapid acceleration.
And then I seen a long gun.
I saw a firearm of substantial caliber.
A big old gun. In the-
I mean substantial caliber.
Me, oh my. There you go. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Neil Bortz. And back in the day, you can't make that up. Dylan, we may need to make that a regular segment here because I am somewhat fluent in Ebonics, being from the South. And so perhaps we could offer that same sort of hospitality services,
yeah,
yes,
sure.
If you will.
Mm. Yeah, well, you've had plenty of training, so I'm sure you'd be the perfect candidate for
We do what we can. I'm a well-traveled man.
Yes.
So, me oh my. All right, that was the great Neil Bortz from WSB in Atlanta. Royal Marshall was his longtime producer. And Neil's enjoying retirement years right now, so there you go. All right, 901-260-5926. David, thank you from Gainesville, Georgia, for reminding us about that hilarious bit on the radio. Well, I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend. She is the Fox News contributor and columnist for FoxNews.com and The Hill. LizPeak.com is her website. Liz, hope you're doing well today.
I am. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So there was an interesting report that came out from City Hall in New York City, Zohran Mamdani. It is a 375-page report about how pretty much everything in America is racist. It's called the New York City Preliminary Racial Equity Study. It really does help you understand exactly what this guy is doing at City Hall.
Yeah, I mean, look. This is a country where Black Americans are represented in Congress in the way that they are represented in the general population. We've elected a Black man president twice, not once, but twice. And if you actually look at the racial lineup of who does well in America, white people are not dominant in terms of economic gains. It's really people from India and Asia and other places. So it's, you know, Todd, it's such an old, tired story, and it doesn't really work. I think most people really don't believe it. The problem is when you tell people of any group that you are underserved and you've been taken advantage of and so forth and so on, so enough times, they begin to believe it. And really, my biggest grievance with the Democratic Party and certainly those on the far left is that they just have such a depressing message for young Americans. Don't even bother to work and try and get ahead because the deck is stacked against you. That's Bernie Sanders' line, right? Or, you know, it's the oligarchs stealing your money and they have no way to get rich unless they take from you. It's all a big zero-sum game, and they just try and find one group after another to pit against each other.
Yeah.
And this racial thing, you know, again, it's been around a long time, and, you know, there are a number of scholars that just refuted most of the findings. I'm sure there will be scholars looking at this ridiculous report and saying, no, this just actually is not how this happened. But it's sad to me that the resources of the New York City government have gone to this as opposed to actually trying to solve some of the city's problems. Because, you know, guess what? The city has problems. The city is not very clean. The traffic is impossible, which actually impacts today the delivery of emergency services. People in the city like mad. So, you know, Mamdani is just all smoke and mirrors and kind of pretense. He isn't really going to do anything for New York City to make it better. I think we can all probably agree it'll make it worse.
Not to mention buildings that might be falling down. I mean, this is just...
Yeah, well, that's not his fault.
But no,
I mean,
no.
Honestly, you know, but I mean, really, New York City needs good governance.
Yes.
And creating a budget, for example, that is just baloney. I mean, they didn't. I love seeing all these bots. I'm assuming they're bots online saying, what a great mayor, he solved our budget deficit. No, he didn't. He stole from the future. And he's making outrageous assumptions about how they're going to become more efficient. Todd, do you think that the Mamdani-run government is going to be of New York City is going to be more efficient than it used to be? I really doubt it.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
it's a good point.
It's sad. It's all playing to ignorance and division and all the things that beset our young people, and it's sad to me, honestly.
Liz, you've got a column up on LizSpeak.com. July 4th exposed Democrats' big problem with America's silent majority. I have to tell you, I came away from the 4th of July weekend celebration so encouraged. And the reason why is when you look and see how people were celebrating, and even in the big cities, you know, people were wearing red, white, and blue. They were, you know, saying great things about America. I mean, thousands of people there at the Great American State Fair. It's just, it's not the same America that you see portrayed on the news channels or on social media.
No, they don't want it to be a great America. They want people, again, to be angry and unhappy with the way our country is going, because that gives them control. Because then they can come in and say, look, the values, the systems and the economy, the capitalism that we've embraced for 250 years, it's not working anymore. So give us power and to dominate your lives, to take a bigger share of the government, which, by the way, has been going on for years now. In fact, the government has taken an ever larger share of GDP. And guess what that does, Todd? It makes the economy less efficient, less responsive to innovation, and so forth. If you doubt that, think about how AI has not even shown up, for example, in public education, because, oh my God, you might disturb the teachers' unions. It's a very, very bad message. But the great news is most people just don't believe it. And like you, I mean, what did I do on the 4th of July? I went and listened to the reading of the Declaration of Independence, which our little village where I am right now did for the first time. And I thought, well, gosh, is anyone going to show up at 8 o'clock in the morning to do this? Place was packed and we sang patriotic songs and people really talked about it afterwards, talked about the Declaration of Independence. That went on all across the country and it made Democrats crazy because they can't compete with that, Todd. They can't compete with the goodness that is our country and the brilliance of the founding fathers in setting up this democracy. So they want to tear it down. I mean, good luck with that. I don't think that, you know, this. I talk about the silent majority a lot because I believe in it. I think there are a lot of people who get up in the morning and they go to work and they do what they have to do. But then if they are confronted with a real threat to the American way, they will respond. They did it by electing Donald Trump in 2016. And if this socialist surge continues, they'll do it again.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And Liz, at the same time, we do have to be concerned about the rise of the so-called democratic socialist. And I think that is just simply a direct result of what is being taught to students in high schools and universities and colleges. And we have got to get a handle on that because those numbers are only going to grow.
I agree with you. And, It is 100% because of the educational establishment. It's extreme. I mean, I've written about it. You probably have, too. If you look at the humanities departments, economics and political science and so forth, of the major colleges in our country, there are literally no Republicans. I mean, and it's not something I'm making up. There are a million studies out there showing that that is true. And at Harvard, for example, where, I don't know, 85% of the entire faculty, not just humanities, identify as liberal or very liberal, when they're asked if they would like to have a better breadth of opinion, they say no. I mean, that's how dead the academic and intellectual rigor is in our country. They believe in this indoctrination. They want to be in a position to indoctrinate these young people. And you're completely right. We have got to start fighting back. And that, to me, it means, very publicly shaming the trustees and the boards of these colleges that let this happen. It means I support a group, and I'm actually on the advisory committee of a group called FIRE that stands up for free speech and rates various colleges and universities in a very rigorous way for their freedom of speech, and found 3 years in a row that Harvard was at the end of a list of 125 colleges. I mean, they shouldn't get away with it, but people have to, donors have to stop donating, and the alums have to stop supporting these schools that don't sign the Chicago letter, you know, that famous letter University of Chicago put out saying, we welcome a breadth of opinion. Right. And any school that doesn't do that and doesn't explicitly make it happen, nobody should support.
And to that point, just some breaking news coming out of Memphis, Tennessee, where the school district there, to the point you were making, over 70% of the kids are not at grade level in reading or math. And the breaking news coming out just moments ago, the state just completed a forensic audit of the Memphis school system. They found $53 million in potential fraud and abuse. It's just unacceptable, just unacceptable.
And I mean, to have a combination of radical ideology infesting our schools and bad outcomes, it's, as you say, it's unconscionable.
Yeah.
And if you throw a little dollop of fraud in the mix as well, what are voters supporting? I mean, how can they possibly let this go on? But, you know what, well, here's the thing. To me, it's the most offensive hypocrisy of all. The Democratic Party, they won't raise it, even though everyone acknowledges that the way you can level the playing field for minorities is through education. They don't lift a finger. They will not criticize the teachers' unions and the public education system we have, because they get tens of millions of dollars every year from the teachers' unions, and that is the end of the story. So honestly, it is probably the number one problem our country has at this point.
Liz, we're going to have to leave it there. Great column you wrote, LizPeak.com. Go and check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Liz, always good hearing from you.
Thank you so much for having me on, Todd. Take care.
All right. Great lady right there, Liz Peak. All right, we're going to take a break, going to the phones when we come back, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to Clayton, Georgia. Claude hanging out with us on WDUN. Hi, Claude, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just wanted to make a comment about Neil Bortz. I used to listen to him all the time when I was driving around Atlanta. But remember one time him and some guy had been arguing back and forth, and he finally told him, "Sir, you are a board surrounded by a sphincter muscle."
Say that one more time.
He said, "Sir, you are a void surrounded by a sphincter muscle."
Wow, that's brilliant. Claude, the problem is you got to be able to maintain control of your vehicle. And that's one of the complaints we get from this show. People say, "To Stern, you nearly made me wreck my car."
Yeah, I pulled over on the side of the road.
I love it. Claude, thanks for that. Thanks for that great Neil Bortz memory.
Have a great day, Todd.
All right, you too now. Wow. Now, Dylan, that's what we call a great insult right there.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Oh, we have an update on the gay cruise, by the way. Gay Love.
Exciting
and pansexuals, too.
Come aboard.
Oh, they're all coming aboard.
We're expecting you.
Anchors away, boys. So here we go here with the update. Turkey now doubling down, saying the gay crews will not be allowed to make a port of entry, if you will. Not going to happen. Hold on. Hold on. Sing it out, America. I love this part of the song, Dylan. Even you genderqueer people out there. All right, so anyway, the latest is Turkey says, yeah, we're not letting you in because you violate family values and morality. And they're not going to allow the gay cruise ship to enter the harbor or even dock as a result of whatever is going on. Dylan, we were getting some reports, unconfirmed, of course, that the Turks found out that there was some sword fighting going on the poop deck, if you know what I mean. Can't have any of that going on in Istanbul. I'm just telling you. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. Hour three coming up. Ships ahoy, boys!
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling into the program today. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, there is a bit of homework that we're going to give you today, ladies and gentlemen. Many of you may be listening to our show on an AM radio station in your car. Maybe you're driving. We just had a guy call in a little while ago, driving on the roadway, listening on an AM radio station there in Georgia. Well, that could be in danger, ladies and gentlemen, and there is going to be an all-out push next week. Broadcasters from all over the nation are going to be arriving in Washington to lobby our members of the House and the Senate over a piece of legislation called the AM for Every Vehicle Act. There are efforts to remove AM radio from brand new automobiles, and we've got to make sure that simply does not happen. And to help us understand exactly what's going on, well, we've got a very special guest with us. He is the president of Bartlesville Radio, where we proudly broadcast this radio program. Our good friend, Kevin Potter. Kevin, good to have you with us today. Hope things are going well there in Oklahoma.
They're great, Todd. We're getting in our full stride of summer right now here, you know, where it gets down to 80 at night and gets up to about 100 every day. That's what we do.
So I've been to Bartlesville, and I had a chance to speak at the university there, the Wesleyan University, and I was just really astounded by the architecture and the energy history. I mean, Bartlesville, and I want you to give our listeners a little taste of why Bartlesville is important to the nation and some of the special things you guys have around town.
Well, first of all, it's a pretty shiny town. You know, it's just a shiny place to live and do work and the people. But it all started with Phillips Petroleum Company over 100 years ago. Frank Phillips, they discovered oil here, and he built a company here. And we actually have tall buildings, as you saw, in our little town of 38,000. We've got tall skyscrapers here in this town. And we continue to have energy companies here. And of course, we have a Christian university here that became known because of Dr. Piper and all that, who you met a lot. So it's a great little town is what it is.
Well, it really is. Also home to the only skyscraper that was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, which is right there in Bartlesville.
That's correct. The Price Tower, it was supposed to be built in New York City, and it's the tree that escaped the forest, and it came to the plains, and the Price Pipeline Company had him build that right here in Bartlesville, and it became their office, and today it'll be a hotel.
Wow. Well, I have to tell you, we love hearing from your listeners. You guys have a great radio station, and I know that, what was it, a couple of years ago, you guys had some really, really bad tornadoes, severe storms that came through, and I thought it was interesting. I was listening to you guys doing wall-to-wall coverage, even in the middle of the night there, which, again, is an important reason why we need locally owned, locally run radio stations in America.
Well, Todd, our staff, they know, and we have, we also own a group of stations up in Kansas, Coffeyville, Kansas. But between the two, we have over 40 employees here in these two places. And whenever we have any kind of severe weather, it's all hands on deck. We have people full time go wall to wall. We have spotters out. They call in. They do all this. Yes, it was 2 years ago. There was a major tornado that came through small town south of here, Barnesdall, Oklahoma, and literally destroyed the town. But we were there. We were part of it, reporting the whole nine yards. Just this past Saturday, Todd, on the 4th of July, the nation's birthday, we had 92-mile-an-hour straight winds that came through here and just raved havoc on stuff. But again, our staff got all had to leave different communities that we were broadcasting from and come in and start doing the full weather thing again. And again, this is something that cell towers go down, internet goes down, all these things go down, but the one thing that continues on is AM radio.
Yes, it does. And you're right. You know, when I bought the AM station I own in Memphis, we really modeled a lot of our breaking weather coverage based on what you guys and your team there did in Bartlesville and do in Bartlesville. Again, we get a lot of the same kind of bad weather here in the Mid-South. And that's one of the reasons why, Kevin, I think that radio is so vitally important, and especially AM radio. The information, the emergency alert system, which was pretty much created because of AM radio, we can't have all that stuff just disappear out of our cars.
And Todd, you know, you're also on one of our station up in Kansas, the KGGF up there. It covers four states. That one does. And again, you look at all these stations, and the car companies want to remove, first of all, they say AM radio because it's hard to keep interference out. Well, yeah, it cost them at least $1.50 to do that, to fix that in the cars. And that's just the beginning. If they start with AM, I am telling you, FM is not far behind. It's not. And what they want, this becomes a profit center to the companies, to the car companies and the streaming companies and all that. They want to stream your station. That's what their story is. Well, you can still get your station, just put the app in there. But that costs something, and you got to have internet wherever you go. And so it doesn't always work. And we believe in free over-the-air radio to people. Our business model, as you well know, is to make it free to the public, and we'll go sell the advertising to make it work. Yeah. That's what we do.
And that's what needs to continue to happen here. And this is going to be a really important moment in American history. And that's why we've got to lean on every single member of Congress. I know the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, I'm on the board of directors there. We're sending a delegation up from WSM Radio and among other radio stations just to remind these lawmakers of how important AM radio is.
But this is what's crazy, Todd. Right now, the bill is, whatever the name of it is, you read it there. I mean, we've worked on this for over 2 years, and the House has 360 co-sponsors. 360 co-sponsors. That means Republicans, Democrats, it doesn't matter. 63 in the Senate is a co-sponsor. So all we need it to do is to have a vote on the floor. We can't get it to go on a vote. We can't get it to tag along on a bill. We can't. We're just saying put it out there to vote and let the chips fall where they may. And the president has already said he wants to sign it. And this is what's crazy about the whole thing. And the only way this is going to happen, and by the way, Todd, I'm on the Oklahoma Association of Broadcasters. I said, let me tell you how this is going to happen. We need to be on national talk shows, the conservative talkers. And I said, I will call Todd Starnes today. I did that, and you said, come on. And we're on the Jimmy Fallon is going to do it. All we need is these people, because let me tell you something. You know as well as I do, Rush saved AM radio years ago. And it became big. That's where a lot of these conservative talk radio is a lot on AM stations. Have you ever thought they want to kill conservative talk radio? Sure they do.
Of course they do.
But this is what they want. Let me tell you something. All we've got to do is keep the camel's nose out of the tent. Because if the camel's nose gets in the tent, you know what happens? The camel gets in. And we can't have that. We can't.
No, we can't. And as a matter of fact, folks, we're going to make it very simple for you. We want you to get out your smartphones right now, and we want you to text AM to 39179. That's text AM to 39179 and urge our members of Congress to pass legislation to keep AM radio in cars. Again, that's text AM to 39179. And you know, Kevin, we're on over 100 radio stations around the country, and most of those are AM radio stations that are locally owned and operated. So this is a huge passion of me, primarily because I, too, am a local radio station owner, just like you guys, right. And we've got to stand together.
Let me tell you something. Here's all the thing. The things that are on AM radio, think about this. Conservative talk, sports, agriculture. Religion. Have you ever heard of an atheist radio station? I've never heard of one.
I think it's called NPR, so, but but I digress.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You anyway, kind of walked into that one, Potter.
Well, you got me there. But anyway, I'm just saying, look at what they're trying to get rid of, and let me tell you, I'll tell you what. You go to Western Kansas, there is no internet in Western Kansas. They're not going to get any streaming services. And that's the reality to it. So what we need is your listeners, my listeners, any listener on all these places, they just got to call their legislators people and say, wait a minute, what's the deal? We don't want this out of there, because you know what happened. And by the way, Rivian and Tesla has already removed the radios from it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, Kevin. You know how this goes. Okay. I got to go pay some bills now with some advertising that you just mentioned. But we do want people to text AM to 39179. This is our friends at the National Association of Broadcasters have made this super simple for all of us to be able to reach out to our members of Congress. And then I want you to give your local member of Congress a call personally. But again, text AM to 39179. Kevin, we're going to get you back on soon, and I'm glad things are going well there in Bartlesville.
You need to come back to Bartlesville, Todd. We'd love to have you.
All right. You know what? That's all you needed to say. I am there. So we'll definitely plan something.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Good, good man right there, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Potter, the president of Bartlesville Radio, our great affiliate there and in Coffeyville, Kansas as well. We love all of our listeners out there in the heartland. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to do what we can. We've got to save AM radio. So again, text AM to 39179. That's AM to 39179. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Memphis, Tennessee, David, listening to us on KWAM. David, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Todd. So back when the hurricane hit East Tennessee a couple of years ago, I got loans of the state, FEMA. People don't realize the state of Tennessee took care of its own during all of that hurricane situation over in East Tennessee. But AM radio played a very important part in that East Tennessee disaster. There were two or three stations over there that linked up to simulcast 24/7, and they were telling where aid stations were, where to get help, how to get help. And as I drove up and down from Johnson City to Knoxville, those three AM stations is what I listened to find out road closures and all of that other stuff as I was doing my job for the state. So AM radio, you can't go away. It's very important. I mean, I've used it in more disasters than not that I've been involved in.
David, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because you're right, and this is why AM radio is so vitally important. Not only that, the entire emergency alert system, the grid, the entire national grid is literally built on AM radio stations. And so if we were to lose that access to vehicles, then people would be denied access to what could be life-saving information in the event, again, of a severe storm, or God forbid there's some sort of an attack on the nation, and then those AM radio stations become a literal life link to people in their homes.
Well, something else people maybe not thinking about is AM radio is what they use up and down the highway for the highway information systems. You know, turn to not whatever 980 or whatever dial your AM dial you're looking when they're doing construction. Those info stations are transmitting on AM radio. The one around the Memphis International Airport, the ones up and down 40 outside of Jackson, it's always tuned to an AM station on the far end of the dial. So. Yeah, and AM at night goes, when it gets dark, AM gets so much more distance out of it than FM and all that other stuff. Yeah, you got a little lightning static. That's nostalgia. I like that part. But AM is there. So.
And by the way, David, and this is for all of our KWAM listeners, we took a huge lightning hit, transformer blew, but the AM signal should be up later this afternoon. So we just got word from Entergy in Arkansas that the AM signal will be back up and running this afternoon. But to your point, you know, when I tried to, we're a 10,000 watt AM station. And I actually petitioned the FCC to go to a much larger signal. And they said we couldn't do it because at nighttime we would interfere with the Canadian Clear Channel station. And I said, who cares about Canada?
Yeah. But that's what I said. When I was a kid, I used to listen to KMOX St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Father Don Mallory, right? Got me through a lot of problems. So, but AM is, I would hate to say AM go away. I really would.
Well, who is your congressman? Who's your congressman, David?
Who is it now? I've met him several times. I just can't think of his name.
There's do you live in the Memphis area?
I do.
It would either be Kustoff or Cohen.
It's Kustoff.
Okay, good. He's a Republican, so I would reach out to your congressman. Reach out to his district office and then call the D.C. office and just say, hey, we need you, Congressman, to make sure that you vote to save AM radio.
Yeah, but like I said, on all these disasters I've been on, and you probably recognize the voice, but all of these disasters I've been on, AM played a major portion in those towns. Those disasters.
Well, David, we appreciate you, and we appreciate the great work that you do, and thank you for calling in. It's again, this is why AM radio is so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, I want to share some intel real quick before we go to break. Yesterday, we had on our brand new sponsor, Movement Mortgage, and they wanted to offer you folks a free copy of their book on retirement mortgage plans. And I want you to write down the information here. So grab something to write with. This is no strings attached. They will send you a free copy of their book, as well as a free consultation. So call 580-REVERSE. That's 580-REVERSE, or go to movement.com/starns to book your free consultation, and you're going to get a customized retirement mortgage plan, and you're going to get a copy of their incredible book. So again, 580-REVERSE, or go to movement.com/starns for all of that information. Hang tight, everybody. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday, our good pal Adam Martin drops by, a great financial advisor with Strategic Financial Partners. And I want you to write down the website address here, strategicfinancialpartners.com. And here's Adam's number. We're going to get that out. You may have a question that you want to ask Adam about financial independence, which is what we're going to be talking about. And if you have a question, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. If you don't want to come on air to ask your question, Helen will write it down for us, and we'll ask it on your behalf. Adam, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great.
You survived the 4th of July.
And I did it with all 10 fingers and 10 toes. So
wow. So many reports, by the way, of people like blowing themselves up.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, literally looking around my neighborhood, we spent some money on some fireworks, but it wasn't necessary. Everybody had plenty, and it was a good time.
Have you seen the what? There's like video. There's videos of like they're shooting off the fireworks in the front yard. All you know what breaks loose, and they end up like blowing up their car.
I did find myself going down a rabbit hole of watching Ring doorbell cameras.
Yeah,
and people lighting off fireworks, and then you see them being launched towards the house. It was great.
All I can think of, what a great homeowners insurance commercial the 4th of July is.
Oh, those claims adjusters are in full effect right now.
I can only imagine the stories they're getting.
Oh, for sure.
Let's talk financial independence. I think, again, this is it's a great topic, especially seeing how we're coming out of the 4th of July. What exactly, when you mean financial independence, what does that mean?
So it's, you know, it's often a misconception that financial independence means I've got to be a millionaire to be financially independent. And that's just not the case. Financial independence simply means that you have built a lifestyle with some proactive financial planning that gives you flexibility to live your life the way that you want to live it. So if you want to retire early, you've built up a portfolio that gives you the independence to retire early. If you want to spend time vacationing and not as much time working, independence simply means that you get to live the lifestyle you want to because you did some good financial planning proactively.
Because many people, when they think financial independence, all right, how do I become a millionaire?
Correct. I mean, and I've seen some people that earn $70,000 a year who are completely financial independent. And I also know people that have $300,000 a year that are living paycheck to paycheck.
You know what I find fascinating is you've got a lot of young people now. They call them the influencers on social media. These kids are bringing in tons of money.
Exactly.
What they don't realize is once they start looking ugly, you know, like the rest of us getting old and wrinkly, you know, I think those endorsement packages may go away. So they're making what do the young people call it? Bank? Am I allowed to say that, Parker? Is that correct?
We'll allow it.
All right, Parker. Thank you, Parker. So they're making bank. I don't want to be a simp, but they're making bank. So what do they do? Parker, did I get that right too?
Sure.
Okay. I don't think that's not very convincing. But again, what I mean, a young person, they want to be financially independent and they're coming into a lot of money at a younger age. What should they be doing?
I really think that they should just be looking at their lifestyle and looking at the needs versus the wants. When you're making a lot of money, especially at an early age, you want to keep up with those other influencers to try to drive more viewers and more followers towards you. So we spend money on things that don't really give us that independence. You know, we see a lot of those types of monies being spent on depreciating assets like high-end vehicles or luxury watches or clothing or designer wear. And it's as simple as, all right, you get this money. What do I need to do with it first and foremost? And that's where we start the planning process. So
that's where it begins.
That's exactly where it begins, is that we can't do anything with negative cash flow. We can do something with positive cash flow. And especially if you're running a significant surplus like a lot of these influencers are, we can really start to look at that and say, let's take 10% of this and allocate it towards our cash, build cash reserves.
How important is paying off debt to all of this? And I ask that question because there's one extreme, and that extreme has a lot of radio shows on many radio stations around the country saying you should be completely debt-free, no credit cards, none of that. And others are saying, no, a little bit of debt is actually okay. Where do you fall in all of that?
I fall in the a little bit of debt is okay. There is a fundamental difference between good debt and bad debt. A mortgage is good debt. You know, it's going to show a creditor that you have a long track record of being able to pay your bills on time, which builds your credit score. Okay, it's also an appreciating asset. You know, you buy a house, like let's use the boomers for instance. They bought a house for 60 grand back in the 70s, and that house is probably worth $200,000 or $300,000 now. Bad debt, credit card. You know, when you become slave to the lender, that's when you start to see high interest rates. You know, if you're paying 20% on a credit card and your investment assets are only yielding 8%, you're climbing an uphill battle. So we want you to get debt, good debt, like a mortgage that helps you build your credit. It's an appreciating asset that you can use later in life. But we don't want to see those credit card debts where 20% interest is higher than what you're yielding on your other investments.
Adam Martin is joining us here in the studio. And if you have a question about financial independence, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. What about, when you're putting together a plan, is it good to have that plan written down? For me personally, I like to see something in front of me.
Mm-hmm. So what I always tell people, I use this phrase a lot, what gets measured gets done. Okay, if we're just living vicariously, not putting anything down on paper or trying to track our goals or our measurables, we're just throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. And that can cause a lot of uncertainty, which is inevitably going to cause a lot of stress. And that's where we see a lot of people stray away from what they ultimately try to achieve with their financial goals. And with a plan, what you get with that is that we put everything down on paper and you can go back to it throughout the year and measure, am I on track for what I said I was going to accomplish this year?
I don't want to interrupt, but we do have some breaking news to share with everybody. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
This coming from Pascagoula, Mississippi, our great radio affiliate there, WPMO. Our good friend Noah sending us this item. The USA, Team USA, has apparently come back from a huge deficit to defeat Belgium, 5-4. They apparently received 4 surprise mail-in goals around 3 o'clock in the morning in California. So, well done. Congratulations, Team USA.
Pipe that fake news broadcast.
Parker, this is exciting news.
That was breaking news to me.
I never thought I would. We're going to have to, you know what, we'll second source that. We don't doubt Noah at all, but, you know, we need to second source that. We'll get back to you. All right. We've got Adam Martin, a financial advisor with the strategicfinancialpartners.com. That's strategicfinancialpartners.com. Talking about getting you folks financially independent. Get your financial independence in order. Get you on the path to financial independence. I'm curious, though, about some of the biggest mistakes that you see people make when they're trying to do that.
Well, a lot of the biggest mistake I see is that they assume that this high income that they're earning, they associate everything of financial independence to the income that they're bringing in. And what I see a lot of people do is they assume that income's going to be there forever. And they don't factor in, what if a company makes a decision for me? What if the company is losing profits and they've got to make job cuts and you're on the chopping block? You just got into a situation that you didn't foresee coming and the income's not there anymore. How does that make you feel? Can you continue to live your life the way that you have been? And if you haven't planned, I'd say that answer is primarily no, because you're panicking. You're sitting there going, well, I don't know if I can go and find another job that pays me the same amount of money. But if you had a plan in place, you'd have what we call financial independence, where you can go, this is what my emergency fund's for. And you have the peace of mind.
You know, it's interesting. When I had first moved back to Memphis and I was looking for a place, you know, I'd been living for, 15 years in a New York City apartment, which is, not 600 square feet. And so you come here and you find these, you know, and so the first real estate agent I had was really great, sent me to some of the most beautiful homes in the city. I don't need seven bathrooms.
No,
I don't. Don't need five bedrooms. You know, and so the challenge eventually was, okay, do I really want to buy this huge, huge house when it's just me living in the house, or do I want to find something that's smaller, that's really nice, that is well within, you know, what I can afford and what I'll be comfortable in? And I think for a lot of folks in this country, the country by and large is just living well beyond its means. And just because, let's say, for example, you're making $1 million a year, you don't necessarily need to live in a mansion. I mean, look at William Buffett, still living in the same house that he's lived in for, you know, what, 40, 50 years.
Yeah, I love going to those Warren Buffett references, and that's exactly right. And it's, we live in a society now where we're constantly comparing ourselves. Maybe it's from social media and influencers and whatnot, but we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people's situations. And I tell a lot of my clients, is let's focus on your situation. I know you've got friends that are doing this and they're investing in this, but let's think about what is the right solve for you. And if you just stop for a second and think about your life and no one else's, and what can I do to create this financial independence according to the life I want to live, we can really start putting some goals down and measurables in place that give you peace of mind. You know,
yeah.
I tell a lot of people, there's, you can't quantify through a dollar amount how much a restful night's of sleep is. I mean, and think about divorces and suicides. A lot of them are financially driven. They feel like they're too far in a hole and they can't get out of it, and they panic and they take it into their own hands. So I think literally focus on yourself, create a goal that is specific to your needs, and live within your needs. Don't go past it.
All right. If you have a question that you would like to ask Adam, you can call him. This is his direct line, 901-260-2438. I will repeat that number again, 901-260-2438. If you have more questions about financial independence, Adam will be happy to answer those, 901-260-2438. Or you can go to their website, strategicfinancialpartners.com. All right, Adam, good to see you, man.
Good seeing you, too.
All right, got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder to pre-order a copy of my brand-new book coming out very soon. It's called The Golden Age: How Trump Saved America. You can get a copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you buy your books. Also, on our website, we have a couple of great stories I want you to read, exclusive stories. A Texas baker denouncing MAGA customers, calling them rabid, immoral sycophants. The bakery in Flower Mound, Texas. Also, this story out of Chattanooga we mentioned earlier in the program, a train conductor fired for saying America is the greatest nation on earth. You can read both of those stories, exclusive stories, right now on ToddStearns.com. And while you are there, may I recommend three things on our website that are always going to be free of charge. And we have sponsors that cover the bills, and so we appreciate them so very much. And because we love offering you guys free stuff. I know there are a lot of people out there asking for your money. Number one is our app. You can download our app and you'll be able to listen to not only the Todd Stearns radio show, but you'll be able to listen to 24 hours of conservative talk radio on our app, including shows featuring Larry Elder and Rita Cosby, Armstrong and Getty, and our good buddy out of WMAL, Larry O'Connor. So I encourage you to go and get that app free of charge. The other two free things, our newsletter and also our podcast. You're going to get all 3 hours of the radio show, and you'll be able to, as soon as you subscribe, then it'll come to you every afternoon as soon as the show is uploaded. So there you go, ToddStearns.com. Really, we're building out the website to be a resource for you. And we also have a fourth free thing, which, of course, is our newsletter. Just hit the subscribe button, and you'll be able to see that there. All right, this story out of Fox News that is it just bothers me. The writer, Rachel Del Guadici. And here is the gist of it. Teachers who celebrated Charlie Kirk's assassination are now cashing in with taxpayer-funded settlements. So you have a lot of these school teachers around the nation, and when Charlie was assassinated, they wrote some of the most heinous things on their social media platforms. According to Fox News, public universities and school districts have agreed to pay more than $2.7 million to educators who were disciplined over those social media posts. That includes, are you folks in Tennessee, listen, a $1.9 million settlement approved last week. Former University of Tennessee professor Tamar Sherinian set to receive $1.9 million to settle a lawsuit accusing the school of violating her constitutional rights after officials sought to discipline her over social media posts that criticized Charlie after he was assassinated. Knox News reports that the Board of Trustees of the UT system approved the settlement. She called Charlie Kirk a disgusting psychopath. Well, this woman's a piece of freaking garbage. Are we allowed to say that? She was put on administrative leave following the social media post where she said, in part, the world is better off without him in it. His kids are better off living in a world without a disgusting psychopath like him and his wife. Well, she's a sick F word for marrying him, so I don't care about her feelings. She was fired on February the 11th. She will not be reinstated. She's going to get her $1.9 million check, and that's that. Another faculty member in Ball State at Ball State University in Indiana got $225,000 after she was let go for a private Facebook post about Charlie Kirk. One professor at Austin Peay State University in Tennessee, so you Tennessee taxpayers are getting it right in the wazoo, got a $500,000 settlement and was reinstated. His name is Darren Michael after he was fired for sharing a post about Charlie. The post included a headline quoting remarks about gun-related deaths. These people are evil. And look, people are going to say, okay, free speech. Well, okay, that cuts both ways. So you, ladies and gentlemen, have a right to hound these people for the rest of their lives, especially if they're earning a paycheck on the taxpayer dime. These are very evil people we're talking about here. I mean, to write these kinds of things, it's satanic. Unbelievable. Joshua Breggy, a climate scientist at Clemson University, a made-up position, was reinstated after he was let go. He said, quote, I'll never advocate for violence in any form, but it sounds to me like karma is sometimes swift and ironic. So the courts are saying that all of this is protected speech, and these animals, these evil animals, these evil satanic animals, have a constitutional right to say what they said about Charlie Kirk. Well, the good news is you've got constitutional rights too, ladies and gentlemen, and all of these individuals are now public figures. So you can say whatever you want to say about them. Unbelievable. So there you go. More on this tomorrow. Don't forget ToddStearns.com. Go and read our stories on this poor train conductor out of Chattanooga. What a crazy story that is. All right, folks, get out there. You guys be safe. Crank up the AC, drink some iced tea. We'll see you tomorrow, America.